do you think of when you hear about an African-American Republican? What is it really like to be a black person in the Republican Party? Stanford University professor Corey Fields' new book, Black Elephants in the Room, considers how race structures the political behavior of African-American Republicans and discusses the dynamic relationship between race and political behavior in the purported post-racial context of U.S. politics. Drawing on first-person accounts, the book sheds light on the different ways black identity structures African-Americans' membership in the GOP. Moving past rhetoric and politics, we learn the importance of understanding both the meanings of African-Americans attached to racial identity and the political context in which those meanings are developed and expressed. Again, the name of the new book is Black Elephants in the Room, The Unexpected Politics of African-American Republicans. And we welcome Corey Fields to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, Corey.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for being with us. What brought you to this subject? What did you want to explore?
Well, I was really interested in, sort of unexpectedness, people engaged in politics in a way that, you know, people who are sort of quote unquote like them aren't usually doing. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, black Republicans are a perfect illustration. You know, no one expects a black person to be Republican. That's a unique position among both other African Americans, but also within the Republican Party. And so with the book, I was just looking to explore what that experience is like.
Do you consider yourself a Republican?
No. So that made, you know, doing the project quite interesting, given that, you know, my own politics didn't align with the people that I was studying. And so partly that meant, you know, I earned their trust and confidence that, you know, this wasn't going to be a political hack job. Now, in regards to when other people hear about the book or read the book, you know, that I'm not a Republican, hopefully communicate to them that it's also not going to be a political puff piece. So, no, I'm not a Republican, which made doing the research in a lot of ways extra interesting.
So, but you are African-American, and you do in the book consider how race structures the political behavior of African-American Republicans. So what did you find out in that regard?
I found that there were some multiple ways that race worked among the African-American Republican activists that I spoke with. There were sort of two primary dynamics in play. One group of activists, you know, found that they presented race as, you know, being less important both in their personal lives, but also in the lived experience of African-Americans in general. And these Republican African-American Republicans invoked what I call a sort of race-blind approach to being Republican. So they, you know, focused on the abstract principles associated with conservative policies rather than any sort of race-specific benefit to them. So, you know, their colorblind approach de-emphasized race both in their lives and in their politics. But that wasn't the only way that race played out among African-American Republican activists. There was also a group of activists who, you know, for them, race was central to how they understand themselves and the experience of being black in the United States. And so for those African-American Republicans, I call them race conscious. And these race conscious black Republicans, you know, were engaged in the party and talked about Republican policies in ways that highlighted the perceived benefits for African-Americans. So, you know, one group, there was sort of a de-emphasis of race, whereas with the other group, there was a foregrounding of race.
I want to obviously talk more about this particular subject, but I do just want to address one other thing, and that is, do you find this to be able, the information that you found, and I know while you didn't study it directly, do you believe that it can be extrapolated to other minorities and to other oppressed people who have involvement in the Republican Party, in the sense of that for the same reasons that we would look that you could question and say to an African American, why are you a Republican? That the answers and the ideology behind it could be similar for other ethnic groups and again oppressed people.
Certainly. I didn't directly study it, you're right. But I do think that the experiences that African-American Republicans talked about within the party certainly, to some extent, are applicable to other racial minority groups, but also to women and LGBT folks within the party. And I think that's primarily about relationships with Republican leadership, right? So we often think about, Black Republicans or gay Republicans or Latino Republicans or, women Republicans vis-a-vis other people in their identity groups. So, we think about Black Republicans and we can compare them to Black people who aren't Republican. What I found, was quite interesting and in some ways even more important were relationships with white Republicans and with Republican leaders, leaders of the party. And I do think that the experience of Black Republicans mirrors what's happening with Latino Republicans, LGBT Republicans, and women Republicans in that, party leaders, in some ways are much more active and engaged in incorporating African-American Republicans who de-emphasize race, those colorblind Black Republicans I spoke about. They have a much easier go of things within the party. And I think similarly, Latinos, women, sort of minorities, if you will, who de-emphasize their minority identity have a better go of things within the party. So in that regard, I think they're parallels to other groups' experiences.
You touched on this, but within the Republican Party, within the group of African American Republicans, what do we learn about class? Is there a class divide?
So now I should say with my research, I was primarily focused on, political activists. And so there's sort of similarity around class, the people I spoke. But when I look at survey data, there aren't big class distinctions between those Blacks who are African-American, who are Republican and those who aren't. Some research shows that, the most affluent African-Americans are more likely to be Republican. But actually, in general, class isn't the sort of powerful predictor of Republican partisanship and Republican leaning among African-Americans, which is kind of surprising because it does strongly correlate with partisanship for white voters.
That idea of you talk in the book, you have a chapter entitled, and I want to get it right here, which is, let me find my note, which is Beyond Uncle Tom, that nature of, and that phrase Uncle Tom, and how does this figure into the identity of these GOP Republicans, of these GOP African Americans?
I think the notion that Black Republicans have less racial identity than other Black people was something, that's inherent in this sort of Uncle Tom critique. But that wasn't what I found. I found, a lot of the African-American Republicans I spoke with grounded their participation in their Black identity, right? So, they were Republicans because they thought that that's what was good for Black people. So, and also the people I spoke with were very much embedded in Black communities and Black institutions and had a strong sense of racial identity, saw themselves as, being connected to African-American communities, whether or not they liked that. Some people didn't like that, and there was like a frustration. But everyone sort of recognized that there was a connection and that they, sort of were often frustrated by the idea that somehow they were less Black than other people.
Corey Fields is assistant professor in the Department of Sociology and faculty affiliate at the Center for Comparative Studies in Race and Ethnicity at Stanford University. His new book is Black Elephants in the Room, The Unexpected Politics of African American Republicans. Okay, Corey, let's talk about the fun stuff. What do you make of race, Black Republicans, and the 2016 presidential election?
Oh, boy. The fun stuff indeed. I think, it's been a really interesting campaign cycle, partly because issues around race and racist rhetoric specifically have loomed so large, particularly on the Republican side. The some of the people I spoke with, you know, have been in touch, and I've been talking with them a little bit in a more informal way. And I think, you know, I'm seeing a lot of frustration among Black Republicans with this campaign and with, you know, Trump at the top of the Republican ticket. For them, this feels like, you know, the perfect illustration of why it's hard to be a Republican and why Republicans, you know, come off so poorly on issues of racial acceptance and racial inclusion. So, you know, I don't foresee this election cycle as being, you know, a banner year for being Black within the Republican Party. Yeah, so I think it's tough. And I don't think that this is going to be a year where the Republican Party is going to be able to make strong inroads among Black communities, even though, you know, now the Trump campaign has, you know, incorporated a lot of seemingly pro-Black rhetoric. But that comes on the heels of, you know, almost 2 years of relatively aggressive, racially motivated attacks against Latinos and, you know, Muslims and even African Americans. So I think, yeah, it's been a wild year in regards to race in the Republican Party. But in some ways, you know, it's maybe it's reflected a lot of the things African American Republicans have been complaining about for years, at the start of my research, even.
When it comes to Black Republicans, is there a and I guess when you see people, you are looking at activists and politicians, when you see people who come on the stage, is that number on the increase? Are we seeing a resurgence, or are you looking at just a number that has remained fairly steady over the years?
Fairly steady. If anything, there's been a slight dip in the number of African-Americans who are identifying as Republican, but it's been relatively stable. And I think in some ways that's interesting in that, you know, even though the numbers have remained relatively stable, the presence, the symbolic presence of African-American Republicans has maybe sort of, it seems like it's sort of trended upward. It feels like African-American Republicans are more present in the party. And I think that is partly, you know, an intentional effort among GOP leaders to try to reflect, you know, a sense of diversity and inclusion. But one of the things I talk about in the book is, you know, it's only a certain kind of Black Republican who manages to make it to the stage, if you will, who gets, you know, called up to the big show. And those are those African-American Republicans who de-emphasize the role of race in their politics. And so, you know, that raises some interesting questions of, who is the audience for this message, right? Is it other Black people, or is this sort of a message, you know, that's meant to cater to white voters who are concerned about seeming, you know, racist if they vote for the Republican Party?
You write about him in a couple places in the book, but I am interested in your thoughts on Clarence Thomas and. Using him as an example of someone with a conservative and Republican background, and how he has not only operated but also how he is seen by other African Americans and other African American Republicans.
Yeah, no, you know, in a lot of ways, Clarence Thomas sort of has become emblematic, or for a long time was emblematic of, you know, African-American Republicans. He was sort of the face of what it meant to be African-American and Republican. And, you know, and he certainly has a, you know, to put it generously, a troubled reputation among other Black voters. In some ways, that's because, you know, he's made gotten a very high profile through a pretty aggressive and strong articulation of, you know, sort of race doesn't matter kind of politics. And I think that's, you know, that's a message that rings pretty hollow to most African Americans in the United States, right, where the sort of race is considered to be a central part of both the sort of experience of being Black, both, you know, the trials and tribulations, but also the positives. So in that regard, right, his reputation among other African-Americans is dim at best. And even among African-American Republican activists I spoke with, they felt like, you know, with people like Clarence Thomas as being the face of African-American Republicans, it was, you know, not representative of the range of diversity among African-American Republicans and not really representative of, you know, the things that they were trying to do in regards to their political engagement. So, you know, in a lot of ways, there is, you know, a lot of dissension and disagreement among African-American Republicans themselves. And to see only people like Clarence Thomas rise to prominence within the party was a frustration for a lot of people, right? African-American Republicans who were like, look, you know, there's a way to be pro-black and be Republican. When they see Clarence Thomas, they experience frustration and, you know, feel like, you know, this guy only gets to where he is because he's talking about race and politics in a way that white Republicans find, you know, palatable. So, yeah, he's a complicated figure. Now, the story becomes really different if you talk about what white Republicans think. White Republicans love Clarence Thomas. He sort of, you know, embodies in a lot of ways the sort of post-racial ideal that the party has so far has chosen to sort of foreground in regards to how it wants to talk about race.
The name of the book is Black Elephants in the Room, The Unexpected Politics of African-American Republicans. It is published by University of California Press. Corey Fields is assistant professor in the Department of Sociology and faculty affiliate at the Center for Comparative Studies in Race and Ethnicity at Stanford University. Corey Fields, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Best of luck with your work. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.